sometime back, I think I may have told you about an event years ago when I was in Baldwin. It was on Good Friday. It had been a long Lent, and I'd gone to the Walmart to get some material. We had this very large wooden cross that someone had made to put in front of the church, which had a purple cloth draped on it during Lenten season. And we had a red one for Good Friday, and we needed some white material for Easter Sunday. So it had been a long day, and so I go to Walmart to get this material. The lady who's cutting the material says, "I'm guessing this is for a church. I've got my Roman collar on, so it's kind of obvious." I said, "Yes, it is." She said, "You know, Jesus is coming soon." I leaned over and said, "And madam, he cannot come soon enough. The sooner the better." As you know, some people were predicting the end of the world yesterday because of the eclipse and the alignment of the moon and the stars and some of the planets and so on, and coinciding with the Jewish New Year. But it didn't happen. And yes, I was a little disappointed. Not because there's some kind of a morbid hatred of the world or anything, but obviously, as St. Paul says, if we love Christ, if we believe in his promises, then obviously we want to see things happen according to God's will. We'd want to see Christ face to face. Again, as I've told you before, am I afraid of death? No. How it's going to happen? No concern about that. But as we say, we want to live for Christ, but we also want to see him. And St. Paul says, if I go on living in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. That's a good thing. But I'm caught between the two. I long to depart this life and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But if it's God's will for us to remain here in the flesh for the benefit of others, then so be it. But we are to conduct ourselves in a way that's worthy of Christ, a way worthy of the gospel of Christ. If we make mistakes from time to time, however, we can trust in the Lord's mercy. When Jesus gives us the parable about the generous vineyard owner, he's using a parable of God the Father. And this is a story of life. Some of us are called to work early, some called to work later. And sometimes in our human understanding of things, we think, well, if I've worked longer, then I'm going to get paid more than the person who came in later in the afternoon. And of course, we see the disappointment, as we would be disappointed ourselves, in the fact that the earliest workers got the same pay as the later workers. They think it's unfair, but there was an agreement that was made between the workers and the vineyard owner. So there was no lack of justice there, but they were upset because of the vineyard owner's mercy. God's the same way. He doesn't think like we do. As Isaiah said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above yours, and my thoughts above your thoughts." Gives us food for thought. The Lord's mercy is far greater than the mercy of man. The Lord's generosity is far greater than the mercy of man. His love for you, his love for me, surpasses that of any human being. No person in this world will ever love you the way that God does, perfectly and in an everlasting way, forever. I mean, consider this. God loves all of his children here in this world and in the next. People ask, does God still love the souls in hell? Yes, he does. They made their decision, but God still loves them. And one of the greatest torments of hell is knowing that. It's knowing this tremendous love of God, sensing it, but yet at the same time resisting and fighting it to the point that it becomes hatred of God. It's being fought with such vehemence and exhaustion, and this is eternally. That's a horrible torment. While at the same time, the greatest peace and the greatest joy of the soul in heaven is exactly the same thing. It's knowing that the love of God is there. Feeling a tremendous transforming love that changes the soul into God himself, being joined to God for all eternity, that we're actually one with him. That love is absolutely welcome. We accept it and we bask in the eternal glory of it. If that's true in heaven, then why not here? Why not now? Accepting the love that God has for us. And though sometimes we have a hard time loving ourselves, for whatever reason it might be, stop it. Stop it. Love God and let God love you as he wants to. That's the message of the gospel. That is the message of the gospel. The Lord calls laborers to work in various capacities in his vineyard, which is the church, the body of Christ. He supplies every one of us with everything that we need to carry on and to complete our task. Our work is to build up the kingdom of God, and through the church, as the body of Christ, to build a civilization of love, a civilization of peace, a civilization of brotherhood and fraternity, a civilization of dignity. Things our world is lacking today, but things that you and I as Christians are called to bring about. Peace, love, brotherhood, and dignity. Each and every one of us must look into himself first and find the Lord's presence there. His grace, his image within. And as the psalm tells us, we call out to God in prayer to deepen and to increase his image by his love in us, as we forsake sinful ways and ask for his mercy and live in a manner worthy of the gospel. When you and I desire to remain with the Lord here, that's a good thing. It's even greater for us to long to be with him forever. But as I mentioned, as St. Paul himself said, if he has a task for us here, we accept it, knowing all the while that whether we are here or there, as he promises, he is always with us. He is here with us as we remain in this world, benefiting others, conducting ourselves in the manner of Christ. Our work, as I said, is seeking Christ within and looking for opportunities to serve Christ in those whom we find, those one another, others that Christ puts in our lives. To use an example, parents are called by Christ to educate their children in the faith. You're there to show your children how to live by your own example, and by that example, to be people of prayer, people of charity, people of selflessness, faithful to the Lord, faithful to the church and the sacraments. Your children, likewise, from this learn to respect their parents, loving them and obeying them out of love, and loving, even though it might be hard sometimes, their brothers and sisters. You see this even in marriage, as husbands and wives are faithful to the promises that they made to God and to one another, and each of them seeking the good of their spouse, always helping your spouse to be the best and to pull the best out of them, teaching your children to do likewise, unlocking their potential to be their very best. I could go on, but you get the picture. The work of building the kingdom is simply that. It's building up persons morally, building them up spiritually, physically, even mentally in some ways. And St. Peter, in his first letter, talks about us being living stones who build up the body of Christ. Let yourselves be as living stones. And that's basically what we're doing. It's chiseling away and polishing each other as those living stones, as St. Peter calls us, gathered together to build a house that's worthy for the Lord to dwell in. Whether others respond early or late to the Lord's call is not really that big of a deal. It doesn't matter. But if we are called, which we are, then there's really no reason for us to delay. When the Lord calls, we answer without hesitation. We fulfill his will. We work out our salvation. As Jesus reminds us, those who put themselves first before Christ, before others, will find themselves at the end of the line, while those who put their love for Christ and love of neighbor first, before themselves, will find the greater reward. Remember what St. James teaches us, that God is certainly just, but God is even more so a merciful God, that mercy always triumphs over judgment. As men and women of God, may we learn by that, learn that and live by that. Avoid foolish and harmful desires, but instead pursue righteousness, pursue devotion and faith, pursue love and patience and gentleness. May we always work hard, but joyfully, in the Lord's vineyard, never losing our desire for eternal life, as we continue this labor of love to which we have been called by the Lord.